Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Word tonight, Monday night, we talked about Joshua. And I really enjoyed studying about Joshua. I really did. Tuesday night, we talked about Gideon. And man, that might have been my favorite. I love Gideon. I love the life of Gideon, the story of him. And we enjoyed studying about that. Heroes of the faith. That's who they are. Gideon was Tuesday night. Last night, I enjoyed Abraham and Sarah, didn't you? And it was good. I really enjoyed last night. But I'm looking forward to the night. We're going to the book of Ruth, chapter 1 tonight. And I'm not sure how far we'll get in the book tonight. I'll just kind of give you a little highlight of the book tonight because there's so much. I told my wife today, you can spend one whole service in every chapter. Matter of fact, you can spend more than one service in each chapter. So I'm just going to kind of skim over the whole book tonight and kind of give you an outline of the book. And trust the Lord when you use it to speak to our hearts tonight. And there's some areas I'll probably settle down on more than I will others. So Ruth chapter 1 tonight, and we're going to start there in just a minute. If you don't have this book, and I'll just say this, what I'm going to say tonight is not going to give it justice. I'll promise you that. It will not, because there's so much in it tonight. You can spend a long time just in chapter 1. If you don't have this, you ought to get this book, not because I wrote it, but because it's got a pile of information in it. A few years ago, I wrote that, 168 pages. It's got 20 messages in it. It's alliterated verse by verse right down through the book of Ruth. If you don't have that, you ought to get it. You don't know anything about the book of Ruth, you ought to get that. And I don't claim all the wisdom that's in that book because I probably read 20 different writers when I wrote the book. And this is, how long ago? 5 years ago, 7 years ago, whatever. Probably more than that, but anyhow, if you don't have that, it's called The Story of Grace, the book of Ruth. You ought to get it tonight. And I don't sell books. I do not do that. If you'd give a $5 donation, that would really be a blessing. And by the way, you can buy these at bookstores. They're in a number of bookstores now in North Carolina. But you won't buy them in a bookstore for $5. And I'm not underpricing them. They've got to make money. I realize that. And you also can probably get them off the internet now, but you won't get them for that price. So I have nothing to do with that. They just get them from me. And whatever they sell them for, that's their business. After they get them from me, they're their books. But anyhow, if you're interested in that, it's called The Story of Grace, 168 pages, verse by verse, right down through the book of Ruth. And you might want to get that after service tonight. And again, I really don't charge. I just don't do that. If you want to give a $5 donation to help print some more, that would be good. And if you want the book and you don't have $5 tonight, you see my wife, raise your hand, babe, and she'll get you one, okay? Won't cost you a dime if you don't have any money. And Brother Robert will pay for it. But anyhow, so remember that. Here's a book I said I wasn't going to say anything about. Because really, I don't need to really, I've not said anything at church here about it. You don't know about this book. I just have got it done. Miss Courtney, she really has done a lot of hard work. My wife done a lot of hard work, helped me put it together. My favorite sermons from the last 50 years of preaching. And I've really not let that out. I really was going to hold it to November because we're going to have a big jubilee in November. And that's really when I was going to let it out. But some of you probably won't be here then, some of you visiting. And I'll go ahead and tell you tonight if you want it. I'll let you have it tonight. It's got five chapters in it. It's got 235 pages, five chapters, five messages per chapter. And here's what's unique about this book. The messages are unique. And they're all my messages. I appreciate God giving them to me. But before I preach every message, there's a story behind that message. How that message come about, where I preach that message, how God used that message. There's a story behind every message. And if you don't have that, you ought to get it tonight. If you don't have any money, we'll give you one. But if you do have money and you want to give a donation, $7, that'd be a blessing. That's a whole lot more expensive than that one. But anyhow, again, I don't sell books. I really don't. If you want one, you don't have any money, see my wife. She'll take care of you tonight, okay? I don't have many. I just brought a few with me. My car is loaded, so I drove my truck tonight. My car is loaded, and the morning I get out of bed, I'm going straight to the steering wheel. What a blessing. Ruth chapter number 1. If you're interested in them tonight, you'll see my wife, okay? That book's not in the bookstore. Well, it is. It's in one bookstore, but that bookstore's nowhere around here. but it's not in any bookstore around here. Rest of them, there's 7 books, and they're all in the bookstore except that one. Gullion's got them all. But anyhow, I appreciate them selling them. They do a good job with that. In Ruth chapter number 1, I want you to look there with me tonight. Let me just say 2 or 3 things about the book before I read what I'm going to read tonight. There's 2 books in the Old Testament that's named after women. One of them is Ruth, and the other one is Esther. And that is so too. And they're different books. When you study the book of Esther tonight, not one time has God mentioned in that book. Do you know that? God is not mentioned one time in the book of Esther. But the providence of God is all over it. And how God works and His providence, it's all over the book of Esther. The book of Ruth tonight, when you study the book of Ruth tonight, which is named after a woman, God is mentioned 25 times in this book. And it really is the story of grace tonight. If you want to see the grace of God, you look at the book of Ruth tonight. Where she was at, how God found her, and we're going to look a little bit at that tonight. And I love studying the book of Ruth. When you look at the book of Ruth tonight, you'll find Ruth and Boaz. That's the title of our lesson tonight, and that's what we're supposed to be teaching on, Ruth and Boaz tonight. And when I think about them, I think about Ruth, which being a Jew that married a Gentile. And it's amazing where that goes. We'll see a little bit off before I get done tonight. And instead in this book tonight, it starts out with a famine, and it winds up with a family. It starts out with a famine, and it winds up with a family. The book of Ruth tonight's got 4 chapters. It's got 85 verses tonight over a period of 10 years. And I'll say more about that also in just a minute. Ruth tonight simply means friendship or beauty. And boy, that really fits her well. She's a picture of the church. When you study about Ruth in this book tonight, she's a type or typology of the church tonight. And by the way, we's a bunch of Gentiles also. Do you know that? But I'm glad God found us and God changed us and God saved us tonight. And she is a picture of the church tonight. And when you look at Boaz, and we'll get introduced to him in just a minute, in chapter number 2 he'll come in the scene. When you look at Boaz tonight simply means strength. And he is the strength one. The book of Boaz tonight is the hero of the book of Ruth tonight. And we'll see that as we study tonight. Boaz tonight is the kinsman redeemer. He redeems Ruth. He's a kinsman redeemer. And to be a kinsman redeemer in the Old Testament, you had to have 3 things. Number 1, first of all, you had to be worthy. Number 2, you had to be willing. And number 3, you had to be wealthy. And may I say, every bit of that fits the Lord Jesus tonight. Thank God He's worthy. Thank God He's willing. And thank God He's wealthy. He's able to redeem tonight. And all that tonight is a picture of the Lord Jesus tonight. And when you come to Ruth, the book of Ruth tonight, you'll study tonight, you'll find Ruth is the 8th book in the Word of God. And in order, starting Genesis down through the Bible, Ruth tonight is the 8th book found in the Bible. And numbers in the Bible means a whole lot. Let's see if I can remember some of them. Number 1's unity, isn't it? Number 5's grace. Number 6, the number of man. Number 7's completion. Number 8's new beginning. Number 9's fruit of the Spirit. Number 10 is testimony. And you go on and on and on with that. But the number 8 tonight is the 8th book in the Bible. And number 8 in Bible numerology tonight, it simply talks about a new beginning. And may I say, what a new beginning. What a new beginning for Ruth tonight when you study this book tonight. And it's the 8th book in the Bible, and I thought that was amazing. It's a new beginning because what God does for it. It's a new beginning because who she meets and what He does for it. And let me say this about the book of Ruth tonight. The book of Ruth tonight refutes the high-pressure evangelism of our day. And by that, I want to explain what I just said. It refutes the high-pressure evangelism of our day. You know, some of these guys think you can stand at a stoplight for 30 seconds and lead somebody to Christ. I'm not saying they can't get saved that way, but that's not normally the way God does it. The Spirit of God has to speak to a man's heart. The Spirit of God has to bring them under conviction. And it's not just 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. If the Holy Ghost does not speak to their heart and don't get them under conviction, they're not going to get saved. And we go to jail every week. And this week we had 3 saved. You had 3 saved this week. And I didn't hear her preach this week, but I know she does a good job preaching to them ladies. And I know her, and I know our ladies that go into jail. And I know them good enough to know this. We don't just say, hey, repeat a prayer after me. I preached in the A pod, and there's six pods we go in every week in the Surrey County Jail. How many of y'all got pods? Y'all have two pods. And then in Yakin County Jail, where I'm the chaplain, we also have three pods there. And at Surrey County, it's a little bit different now. At Yakin County, we just have church. I mean, they come out, they sit at the table, we rire back and have church. That's what we do. But in Surrey County, in the new jail, there's 300 and some in jail Wednesday. You know how many? There's over 300, I'm sure. And always over 300. So the way we do it there, they come out and they won't let them come out and get right with us. They come out and stand along side the wall, and there's a red line, and they can't cross the red line. But we're standing as close to them as I am to you. We're right there with them. We just can't, we can't shake hands with them. We can't give them literature. You can, but there's a way you have to do it. You can't give Bibles, but it's a way. But here's what I started to say. Wednesday when I got done preaching, God really moved in the service. I preached out Genesis 14, and God really moved in the service. And I had them bow their heads, and there's several of them had special needs of prayer that was saved. You see, ain't nobody in jail saved. Paul was. And, of course, Paul ain't in jail in Surrey County. But anyhow, there's several of them raised their hand, special needs. They saved. They had special needs. But there's three raised their hand. They's lost, going to hell without God. So while they raised their hand, everybody else got their head bowed. And I said, look at me. And I go through the plan of salvation. I said, number one, you got to realize you're a sinner. If you don't realize you're a sinner, you're never going to get saved. And I'll say this to you, sir. If you're doing this because you're in jail, jailhouse religion won't help you. That won't help you one bit. But I said, if God has spoke to your heart, and you Romans 3:23, we go right through it. I do what's called the ABC of salvation. A, acknowledge that you're a sinner. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and go right through the gospel with him. And then C, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I go through that with them. I don't just say, hey, repeat a prayer. And I'll say, when you come to the book of Ruth tonight, I said all that, say this tonight. The book of Ruth really refuses a lot of this here high-pressure evangelism. One, two, three, you're saved. I don't believe that. I believe the Spirit of God has to do a work in a man's heart. And if you don't get under conviction, if there's no conviction, there'll be no conversion. Are you listening? I got saved October 22nd. 1970. And the night I got saved, before I got saved, I'd been under conviction for a while. I'd been under conviction for a pretty good while. I'm not going into that story, but I'd been under conviction for a while. And that night I went to church with my girlfriend. And we went to church together that night. And didn't only go to church together, she went with me to get saved. Hallelujah. She's still with me. How about that? And I got saved that night after church. I didn't get saved at church. I got saved in my daddy's living room, front living room. So I want to say this. This book tonight, and when you study about Ruth tonight, it just this 1-2-3 thing, it don't get it. God has to do a work in your heart. You have to be on conviction to get saved. I'm confident in this. I'm going to read the text in a minute. I'm confident in this. There's a lot of people making false professions that God ain't 1,000 miles off. You can get a young and repeat anything. You can get a young and do anything. Some adults, you can get them to do anything. So I just say, you're from the old school. Thank you. I'm going to stay with the old school because that's the right way. Amen. And by the way, it was over a period of 10 years. When you look at Ruth tonight, look at her life. It's over a period of 10 years. And we'll see that in the lesson tonight. And again, let me just say this tonight. I believe you can get saved in a split second. I don't think it takes God 3 weeks to save you. No, you can get saved in a split second. That night I got saved, here's what happened. I bowed down beside an old steel TV. Y'all don't remember them. An old steel TV. And asked the Lord to forgive me. Daddy didn't tell me anything other than John 3:16. That's the only verse he told me. He didn't read me Romans 10:13. He didn't read any of that. I told him, I said, I'm going to hell. I need to get saved. I need you to pray with me. And here's what he said. He said, boy, get down on your knees and pray. If you've ever prayed, pray right now. That's all he said. That's all he said. He didn't have to tell me anything. I knew what I needed. I didn't have to tell nobody tell me I was going to hell. I knew I was going to hell. So I bowed down. Now, and here's what happened. I bowed down. And right almost to the end of my prayer, I didn't know how to pray. I didn't even know how to get a word of prayer. Get words of a prayer together. And I just said, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved. And you know what happened that night? Right almost at the end of that prayer, I still didn't have no peace in my heart. And right at the end of that prayer, almost the end of it, the sweet peace of God come in my heart, and the condemnation left me. And you know what? I'm not being condemned to go to hell since. Now, I've been under conviction about things since, but I'm not being condemned to go to hell since. I got saved. I got born again. Peace of God come into my heart. And I want to say to you tonight, that's what happens when you get saved. And it may be over a period of time. God may use a process. And here in the book of Ruth, we're going to see that tonight. And again, let me just say this again. You can get saved in a split second. It don't take God 3 weeks to save you. Are you listening? I remember one of the churches years and years and years and years ago. I seen some people to go to the altar to get saved. And they come by, and one guy laid his hand on and said, keep on praying. Somebody else come by and said, that's the way to get it. Somebody else come by and said, keep on asking. You don't have to do that. And by the way, you don't ask them 9 times to get saved. Are you listening? And I meet people sometimes, and I say, you're saved? Are you saved? They say, well, yeah, you saved me 3 weeks ago in jail. Huh? I thought, well, you look like somebody I'd saved. You don't get saved 14 times. You get saved one time. Let me ask you a question. I don't know why I'm on this tonight. Let me ask you a question. Brother Robert, how many times was you born into Potts' family? Once. How many times you been born into God's family? Once. You know what? That's enough. How to get you in. Now let's read our text. Notice in this book tonight, and again, basically what I'm going to do tonight is just give you an overall view of the book of Ruth, because we can't get all into all of it tonight except because of the sake of time. Boaz will be introduced when we get to chapter 2. Bible said in verse number 1 of chapter 1, it came to pass in the days that when the judges rule, and by the way, look at Judges, the last chapter and the last verse. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We have politicians tonight who want that to happen now. They don't want the law officers to have any authority. You say, which side is that? You're not that dumb. Look at the verse. And it came to pass, verse number 1, those days, when the judges rule, it's a wicked time, the reason I said that. It's a wicked time. When the judges rule, there was a famine in the land. How about that? We closed last night about a famine, didn't we? Look at the verse. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. In the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Maon and Chilion of Ephratah, and that's just a big word, another word for Bethlehem, Judea. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, watch verse number 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left of her two sons. I don't know how long they'd been there, but they probably hadn't been there too long. And her husband just ups and dies. Things are not looking good at all. Look at verse 4. And it took them, verse 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left alone with her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. And the name of the one was Orpha. And the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. Now they went to sojourn. They didn't go to stay 10 years. They went to sojourn because there was a famine in the land. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Maon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law. Let's read the verse right, verse 6. Then she arose with her daughter-in-laws that she might return from the country of Moab, for she heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. I want you to notice something about verse number 6. She heard there was bread in Bethlehem. You see, when you backslide and when you're backslid, you don't experience the blessings of God. You only hear about them. And she only heard about it. And so what she decided to do after her two sons dies, after her husband dies, she hears that there's bread there. And she's been there a long time because the Bible said they dwell there how many years? 10 years. So she's been there a long time. We know that from the Scriptures. And when she hears about the bread in Bethlehem, her desire is to go back to Bethlehem. And by the way, Bethlehem means the house of bread. And she heard that. And of course, the reason they're there in verse number 1, there was a famine. Now, I said this last night, but I want to say it again tonight. And when we dealt with the famine in Genesis 12 last night, they should have never left. There was no reason to leave. And by the way, God can take care of you during a time of famine as good as can any other time. And I say this last night, I think I probably already have said this. Boaz fared just fine during the famine. Just fine. And he sure did. He didn't leave. He fared just fine. But the Bible said here that they go there, they go to sojourn. And by the way, sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Cost you more than you want to pay. And take you further than you want to go. Are y'all listening to me tonight? And so it is here. And I thought it was amazing in verse number 6. She heard about how there was bread in Bethlehem. And she turns and she starts back. She's going to go back now. And notice in verse number 19. Bible says in verse 19, so they two went and they came to Bethlehem. Now look what's happened here. She's come back, but she's brought Ruth with her. And by the way, in this chapter tonight, Ruth and Orpha, Ruth goes with her, Orpha turns back. And I'll tell you something amazing tonight. In verse number 8, verse number 11, verse number 12, and verse number 15, you know what Naomi said to them two girls? Go back to Moab. Go back to your gods. Go back to the false gods of Moab. How far away from God was she to tell them girls to go back to Moab? You study about Moab tonight. Moab's God's washpot. Y'all remember reading that? And when you study about Moab tonight, they worship those false gods there. How far could she, how, my soul, she must be a long ways from God. It recommended them girls to go back to Moab, where they worship. And by the way, they're Gentiles. Orpha and also Ruth both, and they're Gentiles. And they worship those false gods in Moab. And I thought about this when I read this again today. How could she tell them to go back to Moab to that? And by the way, Orpha does turn and go back. She sure does. In verse number 15. And her sister-in-law, she goes back to her people. And watch the verse. And unto her gods, and return after their sin. She goes back. Orpha turns and goes back. But Ruth cleaves to Naomi. Ruth comes out with her mother-in-law, and they go to Bethlehem. You know what I heard a Calvinist say? I heard a Calvinist make this statement. You got Ruth, and you got Naomi. I mean, you got Ruth, and you got Orpha. And you know what I heard a Calvinist say about that? The reason that Orpha turned and went back was because she wasn't elected. That's about as dumb as a sack of doorknobs. Are y'all hearing me tonight? That's crazy. She had the same choice. She had the same opportunity. She had the same choice. And to me, the big one in this chapter right here is Naomi telling him to go back. Telling him to go back, knowing what's in Moab. And can I just say this before I move tonight? When you get out of the will of God, when you get away from God, you don't think right. Your mind's not right. You don't think right. All those years I pastored, 37 years of pastoring, and now 13 years in evangelism and missions, I've talked to many people that was backslid. And you know what's worse than being backslid? It's backslid and don't know it. Y'all get what I just said? It's backslid and don't know it. And I'll tell you something. When a person's not right with God, they don't think right. Their thinking's not right. And Naomi's thinking's not right here. She tells Orpha to go back. Matter of fact, she told four times. She told both of them to go back. And notice what happens here. Don't you see in chapter 1, I gave him a title in chapter 1. In chapter number 1, Ruth is a picture of a sinner. Ruth is a picture of a sinner. If you want some good outlines on the book of Ruth, get this book right here. There's a pile of outlines in here on Ruth. And different outlines, good stuff. And I'm not trying to sell a book, I'm just trying to help you. But listen to me, I don't need to sell a book. I don't need any money. My wife gave me money today, I'm in good shape. So anyhow, yeah. But here's what I started to say to you tonight. That notice, number one, when you look at Ruth chapter 1. In Ruth chapter 1, she's a picture of a sinner. In Ruth chapter 1, she's a picture of a sinner. And I love, look at verse 16. And Ruth said, talking to Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God shall be my God. And whether thou diest, will I die there, and I will be buried there. There will I be buried. And notice what she's saying. The die is cast. She's not going to change her mind. She's going to go with Naomi. She's going, and as far as I'm concerned right here, in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16, as far as I'm concerned, that's where she got saved. I'm telling you, there come that turning point in her life. There come that time in her life. She turned. She said, I'm going. This is it. And I'll tell you, that's what happens when you get saved. And notice what she says. Entreat me not to leave thee. I've got my mind made up. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go where you go. Your God's going to be my God. And that's what happens when you get saved. You give God everything. And you say, this is it, Lord. I'm forsaken all. And I say this all the time when I'm preaching in jail. Matter of fact, I say it in church when I talk to somebody in the altar at church or out on the street witnessing. I say the same thing. Do you mean it? If you don't mean it, you're wasting my time and I'm wasting your time. And I look right eyeball to eyeball when I say that. And I'll tell you, Ruth means it right here. Her salvation, you see Ruth as a sinner. She's a picture of a sinner because her condition here. And she says to Naomi, hey, where you go, I'm going to go. Where you dwell is where I'm going to dwell. Here's a good outline. I preach on this. I got a series I do on Ruth. And it's probably not in that book there. But she's resolved to follow her. Ruth has resolved to follow. That's what happens when you get saved. And by the way, if you're in this room and you're not saved tonight, you need to get saved tonight. You need resolve to the fact to follow God. She resolves to follow her. First of all, she resolves to a new path for her feet. She resolves to a new path for her feet. Because she said, whither thou goest, I will go. And isn't that what happens when you get saved? My feet don't take me, brother, where they used to take me. Mine eyes don't look at what they used to look at. My mind tries to stay away from what I used to think. I'm about to get happier. Y'all listen to me. I'm telling you now, she resolves to a new path for her feet. She said, whither thou goest, I'll go. But I wrote this down. I preached this somewhere, and I don't remember where. She said, not only she resolved a new path for her feet, but she resolved a new place for a home. She said, whether thou lodgest, I'll lodge. That's good stuff. Whether thou lodgest, I'll lodge. And by the way, that's not the way I was before I got saved. I thought y'all was crazy. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want nothing to do with God. I didn't want nothing to do with the Bible. I want nothing to do. Are you listening to me? But when I got born again, guess what? I want to go to the house of God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, hey, she's resolved a new path for her feet. She's resolved a new place for a home. She said, whether thou goest, whether thou lodgest, I'll lodge. I tell you something else she resolved to. She resolved to a new people for her friends because she said, thy people, in verse 16, thy people shall be my people. And by the way, can I say this to you tonight? That's what happens when you get saved. That crowd you think's crazy. I was brought up in an old-time shouting Baptist church. I'm talking about they got wild. I'm talking about it got on. I thought this crazy. I really did. I thought this crazy. The church, one of the churches, my dad pastored, they wash feet. And I'm not against that if you want to wash feet. If you want to do that, it's not a church ordinance. If you want to make it a church, you can do that if you want to, but I don't believe it's a church ordinance. But they did that. And I'm not going to criticize nobody that does that. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do mine at home. Huh? But here's what I started to say. I brought up in a foot-washing Baptist church, Primitive Baptist Church. And I don't criticize them for doing that. I really don't. It's a picture of humility, by the way. But here's what I started to say. I've seen them turn the wash pan over. They'd have wash pot down there and they'd have feet in it. Somebody would be washing their feet. I've seen them get happy and jump up and turn the water over. I thought, that crowd has lost their mind. But you know what what happened to me when I got saved? That's the outfit I wanted to be with. That's the crowd I wanted to be with. Not necessarily the wash pot. That's the crowd I want to be with. And I'll tell you, notice what happens here. She resolves to new people. She said, thy people shall be my people. She resolves to a new place. Your home's going to be my home. She resolves to a new place for a foot. Where you go is where I'm going to go. But notice this. Notice the last part of that verse in verse 16. She resolves to a new person for her life. Thy God shall be my God. Thy God shall be my God. Now look at the verse. Bible said in verse 16 again, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. It's every bit in that verse. Or following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God shall be my God. And I want to tell you, that's exactly what happens when you get saved. And when you look at the book of Ruth tonight and study her tonight, that's what happened to her. She received another person. She received the Lord. and God changed her life. She, instead of being a Gentile Moabitess woman worshiping them false gods, now she's worshiping the God of Naomi. Now she's worshiping the God of Bethlehem. Now she's going to the house of bread, the house of God, the house of bread. That's what Bethlehem means tonight. So I want to say in chapter number 1 tonight real quick, good night. Ain't real quick. But I'll say first of all, in chapter number 1, she's a picture of a sinner. But in chapter number 2 tonight, I want to say she's not in chapter 1, she's a picture of a sinner. But in chapter 2, flip to chapter 2. In chapter 2 tonight, she's a picture of a servant. You know why I know that? It's because of where she's at. She goes in the field of Boaz. And, of course, Naomi tells her in verse number 1 there, the kinsman and Elimelech, look at verse number 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him whose sight I have found grace. Who's she talking about? She's talking about Boaz. She wants to get in Boaz's field and glean whose sight I have found grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she goes to Boaz's field and gets out in the field. She's not a reaper, she's a gleaner. Do you know the difference? A reaper was one that followed the and got all the good stuff. The gleaner was one that would get the corners. A gleaner was one that would get what was left over. She's just a gleaner. She's not a reaper. And she goes out into Boaz's field. And when she goes out into Boaz's field, verse number 3, and she went out and came to glean in the field after the reapers. And her hap, H-A-P, look at that. Her hap. It didn't just happen. Look at the verse. Her hap was the light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz. Hey, you know what that word means? It didn't just happen. Somebody said, why? She just wound up there. Good luck. There ain't no such thing as good luck. God, her hap was to wind up in the right field. She winds up in the right field. She winds up in the right place. Her service, her hap, she winds up in Boaz's field. And we don't have time to deal with this, but look at verse number 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. I want to ask you a question, Brother Robert. How would you like to go to work in the morning and the owner of your company look at you and say, Lord bless you today? That'd be different, wouldn't it, Brother Stan? Would that be different for you if you go to work tomorrow and your boss man say, Lord bless you today. God bless you. Good to see you. That ain't what they need to say to me. I can tell you that right now. And the guy said right back to him, he said, well, the Lord bless thee. And Boaz said in verse number 6, and Boaz said unto his servants, which were set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Hey, come here, Manny. Here's my supervisor. Here's the guy that's over all the reapers. I'm Boaz. I've just come from Bethlehem. I'm just getting in town. I'm going to ask you a question. Who's that woman right there? Who is that? Where'd she come from? Who? It was love at first sight. He don't know what to say. Are you listening? That's exactly what happens right here. He saw her in the field. And buddy, when he saw her, are you listening? He said to the reaper, he said to the boss man, what damsel is that? Who is that? Where'd she come from? And guess what happens? When Boaz saw her, I'm talking about she's in the field. And by the way, can I say this? When a sinner gets saved, first thing he does is go to the field. Service. Yeah, knock on doors, go on visitation, give out gospel tracts, win others to Christ. She's out in the field working. She's a picture of a servant. In chapter 2, because she's out in the field working. And out in the field, Boaz comes and sees her. Who is this damsel? I'm telling you, it was love at first sight. And the Bible said in verse number 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. In other words, what he's saying is, you stay right here. My field's the best field. Don't go nowhere else. Let not thine eyes be on another field, is what he's saying. Don't go nowhere else. I charge. And notice what he says in the latter part of verse 9. I charge the young man that say should not touch thee. In other words, here's what he's saying. He's telling the boss man to tell all the reapers out there, they better keep her hands off that woman right there. Don't you get your eyes on her. Isn't this a good story? That's exactly what's happened right here. And remember this, she's not a gleaner, she's a reaper. She's not a reaper, she's a gleaner. She's getting what's left over. The leftovers is all she's getting. And if you study here in this chapter, you know what happens? Boaz tells him, verse 9, and following, he said, hey, look, when it comes time to get water, you go up there with the reapers. You're a gleaner, you're not supposed to drink out of the same bucket with them, but when it comes time to get water, you go drink water with them. Are you listening? Hey, she ain't supposed to do that. Only reapers done that, not gleaners. And what really blows my mind when you come to this chapter, look at verse 14. And Boaz said unto her, not only, let me say this before I say that. He tells her to drink out of the same bucket with the others. She's just an old gleaner. She's not a reaper. She's a gleaner. She don't deserve that. She's not supposed to do that. She's not supposed to be able to drink out of the same bucket. But notice what Boaz is doing. He's showing her kindness. And she don't understand that. She don't understand it. Look at verse 14. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip the moisture in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. She ain't supposed to be sitting beside the reapers. She's a gleaner. She ain't even supposed to be in there with eating dinner. Anybody getting the message tonight? You're talking about grace, brother. You're talking about grace. He's showing her a lot of grace. And the Bible said here, she sat beside the reapers. She's a gleaner. And he reached her. You know who he is? Anybody know who he is in verse number 14? Pull it up, verse 14. Y'all know who he is? That's Boaz. Look at the verse. And she sat beside the reapers. And he reached her parched corn. And she did eat and was sufficed. Now, I got enough sense to know this. If he reached her parched corn, that don't mean he's sitting on the other side of the table. He must have been sitting pretty close to her to be able to reach her parched corn. Are y'all getting the message? And get the picture tonight. She's a Gentile dog that's come out of Moab that don't deserve anything. Not only she's a Gentile, but she's here. She's not supposed to be with the reapers. She's supposed to be out there with the gleaners. They don't get to go in and eat with Boaz. They don't get to go into boss man's house and eat. And not only she's at the table, he's sitting right beside of her and reaches her. I like it, man. Don't you like it when he reaches your parched corn? You say, ain't never had no parched corn. Are you saved? I've been eating some today. Are you listening? I'm not talking about corn either. I'm talking about the good stuff. I'm talking about God speaking to our hearts. And in this here, he just simply reaches her parched corn. And then he says in verse 16, and let fall some also of the handfuls of purpose for her. Notice this right here. Here's a misquoted verse in the Bible. Look at the verse. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. It didn't say handfuls on purpose. Does it say you're looking at the screen? Does it say of? Is that what it says? I can't see it. Can you see it? That's what this Bible up here says. It wasn't on, it's of. You say, what's the difference? She's the of. It's not that she just by chance gets it, but she's the object. She's the of. And can I say this to you tonight? How often does God do that for you and I? Handfuls of purpose. God just throws out handfuls of purpose so many times in our life. And I want to just say this. I can tell you tonight, I experienced that. I experienced that on a regular basis. God just giving handfuls of purpose, just throws it out, just lays it out. And I'm telling you, that's the way the Lord operates. I put on a coat the other day that I wore lately. And I reached down my pocket and pulled out. I didn't know what it was. It's a piece of paper. And I pulled it out. Was it a $100 bill or a $50 bill? A 50, I have no idea where that come from. I don't have a clue. I probably somebody while I was preaching stuck at my pocket and I didn't even realize it. And that day, handfuls of purpose. Handfuls of purpose. By the way, I was walking this morning. probably before some of y'all got out of the bed. And God just threw me out some handfuls of purpose out of chapter 4 of the book of Ruth. And just handfuls of purpose. You see here, you don't only see she's a picture of a sinner in chapter 1. Chapter 2, she's a picture of a servant because she's out there in the field. And notice, Bible says in verse 17, so she gleaned in the field in the evening and beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about the Ephraim. Did I say that right? Is that close enough? You know how much that is? That's a bushel. And notice what it says here. She gleaned in the field unto evening and beat out that she had gleaned. You know what, Brother Steen, you know what you do on Sunday morning? You bring in here and give out what you beat out all week. You know what our pastor does? Our pastor will get up here Sunday morning and he'll hand out what he's beat out all week. Anybody on the same channel with me? Brother Ramsey, you'll go preach Sunday. I'm sure you will. And what you're doing this week, you're beating it out. But Sunday morning, you're going to give it out. And the Bible said here, if you'll study that word there, it means a bushel. She beat out a bushel. She got that out in the field while she's out there working. So in chapter 1, could not. In chapter 1, she's a picture of a sinner. Chapter 2, she's a picture of a servant. But in chapter 3, she's a picture of a saint. You say, how do you know that? Because look what happens. She goes to where Boaz is. During the reaping time, during the harvest time, when they're barley wheat and threshing wheat, and he comes in at night. I don't have time to go into the whole story, but he comes in at night and he lays down, and guess who's laid at his feet? She comes in, she uncovers his feet in chapter number 3. Notice what happens before she does that. Look at verse number 3. Wash thyself. Naomi tells her this. Wash thyself. And anoint thyself and put the raiment upon thee and get thee down to the floor and make not thyself known unto the men. Here's what she's saying. Go down to where he's at. Lay down his feet. Make not yourself known. Just go down and lay down his feet. And by the way, Boaz again is a picture of the Lord. And by the way, you know how we worship? We don't start at the head, we start at the feet. And you don't just go rushing in and telling God this and that and the other. No, no. He said, wash thyself. And by the way, there's a good picture there. The only way you'll ever worship our heavenly Boaz is sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourself. You say, preach, what do you mean? I mean, cleanse yourself. You can't worship God and you can't fellowship with God if you're not clean. And by the way, do you ever get down to pray? And you start praying and it seems like your prayer is not getting above the ceiling. And all of a sudden, it's just like a computer screen comes up in your mind. And the Lord says, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. If we regard iniquity in our heart, he'll not hear us. And you talk about really getting right with God. You can't pray if you're not right with God. It was some time ago, my wife and I, we was having a discussion. And I really thought I was right. After a bit, I go down to my prayer closet. I pray in my basement. That's where I pray. I don't have an upper room. I have a lower room. And I go there often and pray. Got a good place where I pray. My prayer list is on the wall. I go right down that prayer list and pray for my preacher friends and different people, my church, my pastor. And I was down the other day praying after we'd had some words. And when I started praying, my prayer wasn't going nowhere. It just wasn't getting above the ceiling. And it's just like the Lord cut on a computer in my mind. He said, do you remember upstairs? And by the way, Peter talks about that. Do you remember upstairs a while ago? How short you was with her? I said, yes, Lord, I remember that. But Lord, if you remember, she started it. That didn't impress him one bit. Are you listening? So I want to say, to get at Boaz's feet, our heavenly Boaz, and that's what she's doing right here. Her sanctification, verse number 3, she washes herself as she cleans herself. And by the way, you'll never get into our heavenly Boaz with your life not right with God. You don't only see her sanctification, you see her dedication. Look at verse 5. And she said unto her, all that thou hast saith unto me, I will do. In other words, what she's simply saying to Naomi is, whatever I need to do, I'll do it. That's her dedication. Then in verse number 8 through 18, I don't have to read it all, but in verse 8 through 18, you see her communication. her and Boaz, after he realizes who she is, he's her. And boy, I want to tell you, he realizes who it is. And to make a long story short, it sure was good. Because he says in verse 13, he says to Ruth, tarry this night, that it shall be in the morning. He said, just stay here. Just tarry right here. And there's a reason for that. I don't have time to go into it. But stay right here. And the Bible says she laid at his feet in verse 14 until the morning. And by the way, morning's coming. The morning's coming. You know what we need to do till the morning? We just need to stay at his feet. Tarry at his feet. Just keep on keeping on. Just keep on keeping on. Just keep on loving him. Hey, just keep on worshiping him. And just keep on loving him tonight. In chapter number 3, and in the end, there's so much in it. Get the book. There's so much in it. But then I want to say number 3. Number 1, she's a picture of a sinner. Number 2, she's a picture of a servant. Number 3, she's a picture of a saint. But when you come to chapter 4, and I love chapter 4. When you come to chapter number 4, and by the way, can I say this before I move? In chapter number 3 again, look at verse 15. Also he said, bring the veil. Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee. And hold it. And notice what he does in verse 15. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. And she went into the city. 6 measures of barley. And the field while ago, how much did she get in the field? A bushel. Are y'all with me? In the field, she got a bushel. But at his feet, she got 2.5. You know what 6 measure is? That's 2.5 bushel. That's 88 pound or 24 gallons. In other words, she got more than twice more at his feet than she did in the field. That's pretty good stuff. Are y'all hearing me tonight? And I'll tell you tonight, I'm not against going to the field and working. I'm for that. But you need to spend time at his feet. You'll get more at his feet than you'll get anywhere else. That time of fellowship, that time of communion. You know what really bothers me tonight? I'm in a different church every week. You know what bothers me? It's a shallow relationship among people. Brother Ramsey's pastored over here, filling in now at another church. It's a shallow relationship. Folk just, I don't know what to come to church for. I don't come to worship. I ran to come to get out. Because about 5 minutes into the message, they were giving that clock at us. That clock at us. Are you listening? And every time they do that, I had 5 minutes of my message. Somebody say amen right there. So I want to say to you tonight, she got twice as much. She got twice as much at his feet as she did. She got a bushel in the field, but at his feet, she got 6 measures. Set it out for yourself. I said it again today. Make sure I was correct. That's 2.5 bushel. But I want to say this, and I got to close. Man, 2 minutes. Watch this. Chapter 1, she's a picture of a sinner. Chapter 2, she's a picture of a servant. Chapter 3, she's a picture of a saint. But in chapter 4, Ruth's splendor. What do you mean, preacher? Well, look at verse 13. And by the way, when you get the book and read it, study verses 1 through 12. That was another near kinsman redeemer than Boaz. They sure was. But he wanted the lamb, but he didn't want the lady, because the lamb would have married his inheritance and he wouldn't take it. So Boaz got her. And that other one, that Mr. Such a One in the beginning of this chapter, the Mr. Such a One, is a picture of the law. The law never could redeem. All the law does is bring you to God, shows you how guilty you are. But our heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus, and Boaz here tonight is a picture of him tonight. Notice Ruth's splendor. Man, there's so much in those first verses right there. Look at verse 13. And Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went unto her, the Lord gave her a conception, and she bare him a son. Think about this. Look at another outline. Chapter 1, Ruth's weeping. Chapter 2, Ruth's working. Chapter 3, Ruth's worshiping. But chapter 4, Ruth's wedding. Starts out with death, but it winds up with a wedding. And I'll just say this. He takes her and he marries her. And boy, you're talking about grace. When you realize who she was and what she was and where she come from, as a stranger, she found grace. As a daughter, she found love. As a gleaner, she followed his word. As a worshiper, she fell at his feet. As a handmaid, she ate at his table. As a bride, She finished his plan. And she did finish his plan. And you know what's so good about this? They have a son. Anybody know what his name is? It's found in verse 17. Boaz. Do you know who Boaz is? You study about Boaz, and I love studying this. When you study about Boaz, you'll find that Boaz is a great-grandfather of David. And you know what? If you study that out, you'll find that Ruth is the great, 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 great grandmother of the Lord Jesus. You say, where's that at? It's found in Matthew chapter 1 when you get in that genealogy. And here's my thought. My time's up. I'm done past time. Listen to this. Here's my thought. Isn't it amazing who God uses? Gentile. Isn't it amazing who God uses tonight? But God commendeth his love towards us. And while we're yet sinners, just old sinners, it's amazing who God uses tonight to get his plan done. And I think I probably said it last night. You read the genealogy in Matthew chapter number 1. Those people that's in that genealogy. Look in Hebrews 11. We don't have time to turn. Rahab. And by the way, you know who Boaz? You know how Boaz? You know how Boaz learned to love sinners? He learned it from his mother. You say, who's his mother? Rahab the harlot. Are y'all with me tonight? This book's a wonderful book. This book's all about the grace of God. And when you, I would have never put it together that way. I would have never picked them people. As a matter of fact, if I'd have been God, I'd never pick me. I'm glad I ain't God.